My next guest is on the line. He is Dr. Kenneth Moeng Mokgatle, and he's a research fellow at the Middle East Africa Research Institute. We're going to be talking about the recent visit, quite widely reported in the South African and international press, of the visit to Israel by the Mandela granddaughters, as well as, weirdly enough, similar timing, Mandla Mandela being there on the flotilla. So interesting chat this afternoon. Dr. Mokgatle, thanks for chatting to me again.
Good day to you and to the listeners of Chai FM. Thanks for having me.
So at the outset, I was just wondering, do you think in the context of South Africa today, it takes bravery by people with a surname like Mandela to be seen to be going to Israel?
Yeah, I think the surname is used as a political capital, and it benefits a lot of people. So a lot of people are exploiting it, some in a very negative way, and some are trying to try and use it to make sure that the legacy of Nelson Mandela is able to live up to its expectations, such as to unify the world, as we know that it was Nelson Mandela's theme or goal to try and unite the world, as we saw him coming out of jail in 1990, and when he came and he became the president in 1994, he did not want to get revenge or an avenge, but what he did is that he tried to bring all racial groups together to form what we know today as a rainbow nation. But others, like his grandson, Mandla Mandela, they are using it rather to divide the world rather than doing what Nelson Mandela used to do, to try and bring solidarity to all nations.
It's actually really interesting because it's almost a battle over the inheritance of the name, is what it gets to signify and who gets to claim ownership. And, you know, I'd like to think that the granddaughters win out, but I'm not so sure that they will. What kind of reception have they come back to from South Africa in general, in your opinion? Because I just must say, I think they came back with an incredibly balanced and very nuanced view of the situation, showing, as Mandela would have, incredible understanding, I'd like to think.
You know, that's true, and that's something that most people should learn from them, because most of the people, they have got an impression that the Israeli oppressive regime in that part of the Middle East. But once they have been taken to that side of the region in the Middle East, they are able to see what is happening on the ground and to stick to what is practically happening there, rather than relying on the media, which has got some nefarious agenda, as we have seen. So a lot of journalists in South Africa who are reporting on the Israel-Palestine conflict, most of them have never been there, and some have been there, but they have sticked to provide the narrative that is not there, that does not exist. For an example, now you have got Hamas, which obviously most countries, as well as other organizations such as the European Union, have declared as a terrorist organization. Hamas have gone on to undermine the ceasefire that was or that is in place, but you don't have many people, including also the South African government, coming out to condemn Hamas. But once Israel then starts to react to such violations of ceasefire, then you will have South African government releasing and publishing statements. But when it is done by another group or another side, they don't condemn. They just, there's inaction on the part of South African government, which is led, of course, by the ANC. So that is what we are continuously subjected to, something that many journalists, researchers, and others who are working in the field of media and academia, they should try and balance their views and try to stick to honesty and objectivity, impartiality, but they are not doing that, most of them, because there's an agenda that is being driven.
Agenda that's been driven in finance and taught at universities, and you come out with an orthodox view of what you need to think, and you conform. That just seems to be what it's like. You conform. And I think that's why these two young women blew me away to the extent that they did, because they came out with such a different view. They're swimming against the current, and they saw it, in my view, for what it was.
Of course, it's not only them. If you look in the recent past, especially after the October 7th attacks by Hamas against the Israelis, then you'll realize that a lot of people have been there, especially different political parties represented in the Parliament of South Africa. And when they came out of that situation, they were able to see through to what is happening there and to negate or to differ with the popular view that Israeli is oppressing the Palestinians. They were able to see as to who really was starting all this conflict every time when peace was being pursued. And you also go back to the years of 2002, when President Thabo Mbeki was the president and he was trying to pursue something that could establish peace and security between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And such was not achieved because there was reluctance, especially coming out of the side of the Palestinian Authority. So I think many people now have woken up. They are able to see as to who really does not want peace to exist, because you cannot then build
right.
a Palestinian state without safety, security, and peace. We need the two sides to be stable so that you can think about building another state. So we can't talk about another state when a peace is threatened in the state of Israel. So we have to first stabilize the region so as to make sure that we can start other negotiations or other dialogue.
I want to go back to the Mandela family, because the fact that Mandla takes such a different viewpoint is really fascinating to me. I mean, here's a guy presumably with family roots in the Eastern Cape. The Eastern Cape, let's be honest, it's an absolute failure of a province. It doesn't deliver to its inhabitants. I read figures just the other day about the number of pit latrines still in schools in South Africa, and the worst offenders are the Eastern Cape. I think 21% of schools have running toilets. The rest use pit latrines. Not a word from Mandla about the state of the Eastern Cape or local issues, but he'll get on a boat and sail to Gaza to fly the Palestinian flag. I mean, what am I missing here?
Yeah, that is absolutely ridiculous, and it shows hypocrisy, because you have got a guy whose family is very influential, the name is very influential when it's old, but this guy is not doing anything amidst all the misfortunes of his province. You look also at the reports, the recent reports of the fatalities of children due to malnutrition. And this happens each year since 2002. You realize that the number goes up, and he's not saying anything. And when you go to service delivery by his own party, the ANC, from local, provincial to national level, they failed the people of Eastern Cape. But he has not uttered the way, even when he was a member of parliament, but is able to interfere in matters where he will have some small role to play, but where he has got an influence and he can change lives, he's not saying anything or doing anything. There were a lot of corruption and crime incidents, such as extortion, that was taking place where people lost their businesses in the Eastern Cape, and he has never uttered any sentiments to try and condemn what was happening in his own province. And the province has been collapsing in his own watch, but he's able to go miles away and want to have an influence there. So I think he's trying to find some political relevance where he's not going to find any, rather than trying to fix what is wrong, especially in South Africa. So I think he just wants political capital, because he has realized that the ANC have sinked everything, and none of whatever they are trying to pursue is never going to work. So he's trying to go internationally. And we must never forget that because he's Muslim, as well as Dr. Naledi Pandor, so they are trying to use their religious affiliation to try and pursue their ideology, which is not bringing any solution or resolution to the problems that the two people are facing in the Middle East. We've seen South Africa dragging Israel into ICJ. That decision did not stop the fighting between the two people. It rather conflated and it made the situation worse. So South Africa have missed the opportunity to become influential and to become popular, as we know that they have always been since 1994, to be the people of peace. But at the moment, I think they are being missed in the table, because you find countries such as Qatar, Egypt, USA, and others which are trying to find the solution in the table.
We're going to leave it there, Dr. Mokgatle, but you are spot on. I mean, that's the missed opportunity here, the fact that South Africa had so much to bring to help solve this conflict, and instead it squandered all that capital. What a terribly sad waste.